Dave and Ryan's movie review and action.
Everyone loves going to the movies. And while some are amazing, some are awful. Fortunately, we have Dave and Ryan, two guys with nothing better to do than watch movies of today and movies of yesterday. So get your popcorn ready, silence your phones, and relax, because the show is about to begin.
Cue Dave and Ryan in 3, 2, 1.
It's Dave and Ryan's movie review.
Sponsored by nobody.
Welcome in to another edition of Dave and Ryan's movie review, take 98.
98!
That's in two episodes. We're going to have some fun, I guess.
Guess who's back?
Who?
This guy.
That guy? Yeah, he's back, and next week you'll get Jordan back, because I'm leaving.
Yeah.
So it's okay. We it's good that we have those interchangeable members that can help us out from time to time when we need it.
Yeah.
All right, how's he been?
Super.
Super duper?
Yeah, I had a great last weekend.
Well, tell everybody what you did.
I went to WrestleMania.
Ryan was at WrestleMania, brother, on Sunday night.
Yes.
What was probably the most exciting thing you witnessed?
So this song has been stuck in my head since since I got back, and we've talked about it all week, is when Joe Hendry came out, and that song has been stuck in my head. I believe in Joe Hendry, and he does his little spin around.
We've been having a lot of fun with that song.
When he first came out, I had no idea who the guy was. Like, everyone around me was going crazy, and I'm just like, who the crap is this guy?
Make you feel old?
No, just out of touch, I guess.
Hey, that's all right. That's all right. So, yeah, Ryan went and had fun. I had a good time, and now it's time to get back to work.
Then we gots to.
We gots to. So, first things first, we got to go to Hollywood.
Welcome to Hollywood Boulevard, the place of glitz, glamour, and dreams. Just kidding. This place is a dump. That's why Dave and Ryan come here each week. You get the news from Hollywood without fearing for your life on the Walk of Fame. It's This Week in Hollywood.
So this one, actually, Josh, that does the show with us every now and then, sent me this article and I read it. And I think it really hits home with some of the things that we've talked about.
Now, did he agree with it or not agree with
it? He just said he would like to get our take on it. So Okay. Here's the thing. Ted Sarandos is the CEO of Netflix. He was interviewed by the editor-in-chief of Time Magazine at some big conference-like thing that they had. And he says that most Americans can't walk to a megaplex, and calls the theater model an outdated concept.
Well, he's just an idiot.
And here's the other thing. He says that
That's like McDonald's going, a lot of people don't like to eat chicken, so they come and have our burgers.
There you go.
Well, no crap.
But he also said that Netflix is actually saving Hollywood. It may be saving Hollywood. It's not saving movie theaters.
Now with Netflix, they do have a lot of good original content.
They do have a lot of, well, just one best picture.
Yeah, but when they do like adaptations and stuff like that, they just slaughter it, and it's horrible.
Right, and here's this guy saying that, and he did attest to that. He made a comment about that. Let's not forget, you have to be in a theater for so long to be considered for an Academy Award. A movie has to be. That's why they released, I think, the examples they gave were Glass Onion, the Knives Out story, and the one that just, Emilio Perez, that just won everything last year. Mm-hmm. They have to be in theaters to be considered for Oscar contention. But I think that he is a little detached in saying that most Americans can't walk to a megaplex. Well, guess what? In rural areas, they can't walk
accessible anyway.
Yeah, they are handicap accessible. Now, yeah, that was the other thing. Is that physically can't walk?
Yeah, that's like saying not everyone can go to an NFL game or an NBA game.
But people still go.
Yeah.
And the other thing about it, too, is I get where he's coming from, but Netflix is part of the issue. And big movie studios, and we've talked about this a lot, mm-hmm, big movie studios do not care about theaters and theater chains. They don't. Because if they're going to put it in your homes in 45 days anyway, I don't know how they figure they get their money back on that. But, I mean, Hollywood needs a revamp. It really does. And I don't know who's going to be the one to do that. But it needs to really rethink its business model and how it goes to market. I think, anyway. I don't know what you feel. I mean, you kind of follow, you know, as far as filmmakers and things like that. But I think it does. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, at least for me, you know, the movie-going experience is, you know, it's a special thing to go to a theater. Go, you know, you're with a group of people that you don't know or you do know. And you're all feeling the same emotions together. It's like going to a sporting event, you know. You're all cheering for the same team. You're all, you know, you're all happy when they're winning. You're sad when they're losing. You know, if something horrible happens, you know, you're all concerned or whatnot. You know, that's the movie-going experience. But we live in a technological era now. You know, basically, you know, back in the day, you know, they had pay-per-views for, like, sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how we are in the movie business right now, you know. You know, with Netflix and Amazon and, you know, like Apple TV and stuff like that, you know, they all have their own platforms to produce their own stuff. So, you know, the theater's kind of the middleman.
Right. But, you know, and well, let's talk about the event that you went to over the weekend. Used to be that you had the only way you could get it and watch it at home is on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Now it's on Peacock.
Yep, as long as you have a Peacock subscription.
If you have a Peacock subscription.
Or honestly, or you could have jumped on YouTube and watched people watching it and their reactions.
Right, and you know, for I think my Peacock account is $7.99 a month. That's a heck of a lot cheaper than a $99 pay-per-view used to be.
Yeah, well, when I was growing up, pay-per-views were $30.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little older.
Yeah.
It's okay. We used to have the... We used to have the box on top of the TV that you know, the
box that no one was supposed to know you had.
Right, that one. But I don't know. Yes, I think that Netflix puts out some good films. Like you said, their original stuff is great. It really is.
Yeah, and you know, when we went and watched the movie that we're going to review today, you know, we were joking, but I was mentioning, what if they had like special rooms for just like you and a small party to watch a movie, and like you could watch anything you wanted.
Yeah,
basically you it's like renting a party room to watch a Netflix series. Mm-hmm. Or you know, you get in there, you have comfortable seats, you can get concessions or whatever, and you can watch like five episodes of a series, or you can watch an entire series. Like, you can watch the first season of The Mandalorian, or if you want, you know, something like that. You know, I don't necessarily think, you know, that it needs to be exactly, you know, that idea, but something similar to where you can go to a theater, and if they don't have what you want to watch, you can basically, you can go into a separate area or whatever and watch what you want. Basically, it's taking the home watching experience and putting it into theater.
I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. I think that, yeah, he's going to say what he has to say to push his business, and that's fine.
Yeah, of course. You know, he's the CEO of Netflix. Of course he's going to push Netflix.
That's right. So good call on that point. All right, so moving on. Let's talk about this one. I saw this one, and I'm like, that's going to be the greatest movie ever.
Is it?
Just because of who's in it and who they play. Heads of State. Coming to Amazon Prime July 2nd. It's about two government leaders who need to set aside their rivalry to thwart a global conspiracy. Are you ready for this? Idris Elba, the Prime Minister of the UK.
Wow.
And John Cena as the President of the United States.
Oh my gosh.
Right? The duo become targets of a powerful foreign adversary, and they find an ally in Noel Bissett, a brilliant MI6 agent played by Priyanka Chopra Jonas.
Wow.
Doesn't this sound fun, though?
It does. But, you know, when we went and watched this film on just this last week, there was a trailer for a film I'm excited for.
Which one?
The new Wes Anderson one.
Well, yeah.
Did you see all the people that were in that one?
Yeah, there's a lot in that
one. We'll do a reaction video for that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in that one.
So we won't spoil anything for now, but look out for our reaction video.
It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It really does. And the funny thing about it is the one guy, we were talking about it last night when I got home, and the one guy that's in it, Michael Cera. Mm-hmm. Has he ever been in a Wes Anderson movie?
I don't think so.
Because he fits right in perfectly with his cast of characters as he always has.
Yeah, that awkward kind of weirdness.
Yeah.
Well, when Michael Cera was younger, I couldn't stand his acting.
Yeah.
But now that he's a little older and mature, we will see.
Or are you just used to his style now?
We'll find out.
All right. We'll get into that a little bit more. But no, this one looks fun. Heads of State, will be on Amazon Prime July 2nd. We'll see if we can find a trailer. Maybe we'll do a reaction for that one as well. Just looks interesting. Sounds interesting to me. All right, let's get this one out of the way. The big one. Project Sean for this week.
Ooh.
Thunderbolts, asterisk.
I'm going to say 90.
You're going to say 90, so it's projected to 63 to 85.
I'm going over. I'm shooting.
He's going for 90. At this point, it doesn't matter. I'm playing with house money. I'm going to say 110.
Wow, you're way down the
road. That was a pen drop if you didn't hear that. So I just think that this is the previews that we've seen of it. It looks fun. I think this is kind of a movie that's going to kickstart the summer that people have maybe been looking for from Marvel for a while.
Yeah, I think, for the main, I'm not sure where this film's actually going to fit in their new going forward, any storyline. Because right. I know, like, with the Deadpool movies, they don't fit in to their main storyline. So I'm just a little concerned is this like the new Guardians movies? Where they're going to, there's like their own separate team and then they're not really going to interact with the new Avengers until like later on.
Well, they've announced that the cast will be in Doomsday.
Okay.
So they'll be there. So I just, and it's funny that you would bring that up because this movie kind of gives me a Guardians vibe.
Yeah, but a little more grittier.
Yeah, a little grittier, but it just seems like it's going to be a lot of fun.
I was watching this interview of Florence. And the interview asked her who had the better Russian accent.
Uh-huh.
She's like,
David Harbour.
Yeah, David Harbour. She's like, David Harbour's character is more from Russia, where I'm more like Eastern European. So
it's him.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like a fun movie. In fact, there was when we saw the movie, there was a trailer for it at the beginning of that, too. So yeah. I'm looking forward to this one. All right, let's do the box office week ending 420.
Yay!
All right, number five, Warfare. Keep sticking around.
Lighten it up.
All right, $4.8 million on $17.1 million total. The Amateur, I really had high hopes for this movie. I did. It looks really good. $7 million to bring its total to $27.1. The King of Kings, the movie we reviewed last week, came in at 17.5, bringing its total to $45.6.
Still on the list.
And a Minecraft movie comes in at number two, $40.4 million, with its total domestic only of $343.8 million. That movie is almost getting to the billion-dollar point already worldwide when I looked it up.
I will never watch this movie.
I know you won't. And then number one, the new Ryan Coogler, Michael B. Jordan movie Sinners, which is getting great reviews, brought in $48 million.
Ooh.
It's kind of a different movie, kind of a vampire movie, but then there's a twist there in it. So it looks really interesting.
Is it directed by M. Night Shyamalan?
With a little twist. So get out and see that one if you can. All right, so for last week, that was our projection for the week. Sinners was projected to do $40 to $50 million. They did pretty good. We suck at this. Ryan was the closest. What did you say?
I said 35, but I was still off.
Well, you were the closer than I was because I only said 30. Maybe that's why I overshot my shot with Thunderbolts. We'll find out. We will find out. All right, so today we're going to talk about the movie The Accountant 2. And that kind of gives me some, buddy crime, buddy cop movie vibe kind of things, like buddy movies. So that's why this is what has to be the honest movie review.
It's now time for an honest movie review. Today, we go back to 1997 and look at Batman and Robin, the action fantasy flick starring George Clooney.
My name is Freeze. Learn it well, for it's the chilling sound of your doom.
This is the way the world could end. With a kiss.
With venom. I probably should have mentioned this. I'm poison. Poison Ivy.
And the only man who can stop them.
I Freeze. I'm Batman.
This movie just plain sucks. Can't wait to speak with you again next week.
I hate you for making me watch this, Dave.
This movie
was horrible.
But I think, honestly, it gave us one of, not the, but one of the best Bruce Waynes.
Okay.
I think we've talked about this before. George Clooney is Bruce Wayne.
No. Yeah.
You know, he's married now, but before...
Although his bat suit was horrible.
The bat nipples were too much. I think that's what took it over the top, and I blame Joel Schumacher for that one. I blame Joel Schumacher for a lot of things that went wrong with the Batman franchise, and he blames himself as well. So we're good.
Which he should.
He atoned right before he passed away.
Wow, Dave.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
All right, so the review this week, The Accountant 2, we'll talk about that one. And then we're getting to the point where we're like a month away from school being out.
Yeah.
So we thought it would be cool to talk about some of our favorite end of the school year flicks. And then also in theaters this weekend is the 20th anniversary edition of Revenge of the Sith. And we will talk about this. And you know what? You can laugh all you want about the three prequels. You had to have this one. This was a really good movie. We'll talk about it as well. How's that? I liked it. Did you?
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. That sounds fair. All right, so all that and more when we come back on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review.
Everyone on set, shut up. Shut up. These two buffoons are about to talk about a new release. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, Segment 1. Action.
What's more exciting than a brand new release to the movie theater? According to Dave and Ryan, nothing. They're the first to see it, so you're the first to hear about it.
All right, back on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, and now it's time to do our review of The Accountant 2, while Ryan's over there making kissy faces to the camera.
Yes.
Rated R, 2 hours, 4 minutes, stars Ben Affleck, John Barenthal, J.K. Simmons, and Cynthia Adai Robinson.
Yeah.
Did you like the first Accountant movie?
I did. I liked the first Accountant movie. I thought it was an interesting story. Ben Affleck plays an interesting character. Not quite sure what his condition is.
I'd say he's highly functioning autistic.
Yeah. They never really say what it is.
Right.
They all, you know, they're like a typical family where they just kind of skirt around the issue. But yeah, I like the first one, and the second one kind of, you know, we'll play the new one.
Because I was going to say, if you like the first one, you'll like this one, I think. Once again, Ben Affleck plays an actual accountant who has a very particular set of skills over and above his mathematical brain. He is hired by like cartels and illegal businesses and the mafia to do their books to check things out. But then he also was hired by legit companies to see where shortfalls may be and things like that. And then from time to time, something comes up that needs a little bit of subtraction, shall we say?
Okay.
In the world of the accountant?
Sure. We'll say he has to do some financing.
All right. So in the first movie, you learned that John Barenthal is his brother.
Yep.
And what happened was, you know, Ben Affleck, back when he was born and was growing up, they really didn't know a lot about his condition, let's be honest. And so the mother was the one, strangely, that had the issue with it, and she left.
Yeah.
And this is all in the first movie. And then Barenthal couldn't understand why Ben Affleck and his dad still revered the mother like they did. He was of the notion that she left, and so, you know, screw her, we're moving on without her.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that was always a big problem. But J.K. Simmons plays a treasury secretary, treasury, you know, pretty high up in the treasury in the first one. And at the end of the first one, he kind of retires. And this Cynthia Adai Robinson takes over. So the second one starts out with J.K. Simmons meeting this lady in a bar because there's somebody that he wants her to go find. And it kind of just explodes from there. Come to find out that...
Don't give spoilers.
I'm not. Come to find out. I think the only spoiler that I will give, but it's in the frickin' tagline of the movie, is J.K. Simmons is killed.
Yeah.
And this Cynthia Adai Robinson, who plays Mary Beth Medina, who has taken J.K. Simmons' job, finds that he has written on his arm, contact the accountant, or find the accountant. Yeah. So now she has to go find Christian Wolfe. And I think that honestly, to watch Ben Affleck in this role, he's done a lot of research on it. Mm-hmm. Because of his mannerisms and the way he is and the way he acts. And he acts like somebody that has that detachment from everybody else.
Yeah.
And that, there's one moment that was very poignant. And I told my wife, because I have a nephew that's autistic, but I told my wife, there's a very poignant moment when the two of them are sitting on top of the Airstream and Barenthal asks him, "Was I a bad brother? Did you not like me because of me?
He wanted an honest answer because his brother never reaches out.
Right. Did you not like me because of me, or was it because of you? You know, and it was a very poignant moment there, because that's all, I think really through the whole movie, that's all Barenthal is looking for, yeah, is some sort of validation from Ben Affleck. Well,
now that we know what the movie is about, what was your opinion about it? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Was there anything wrong with it?
I liked it. I really did. I think that it was a good movie. It's a good action movie. I really enjoyed, and you brought it up, and I have to echo that statement. The chemistry between John Barenthal and Ben Affleck is great.
Yeah.
They are truly, they work off of each other. Maybe better than him and Matt Damon.
Ooh.
I know them fighting words. I just threw Jason Bourne under the bus. But no, I really enjoyed this movie, and I like The Accountant, the first one as well.
Yeah.
So I would say I'm giving this one 4 buckets of popcorn. I liked this movie. I will also say, as a caveat, we went to a theater and saw it in D-Box, turned down the seat a few times, and you know, you'll appreciate it more, I think.
Yeah, you won't be flying off the seat.
Right. What did you think?
So for me, the cinematography was good. I liked the look of the movie, the feel of the movie. It was kind of like that gritty, kind of like the first one, the gritty, low light kind of darkness. There was a few plot holes in the story. Basically, they kidnapped the kid that they were looking for. They straight up just kidnapped the kid. Ben Affleck suddenly had like this sixth sense that, oh, he's just like me after never meeting the kid. How'd that happen?
He knew.
Yeah, the mom knew where he found out where he was at, and she just abandons him. Oh, I'll just leave it to these two weird guys. But yeah, but the chemistry between Ben and John were, you know, it was like a sibling. They were, if you don't have a sibling, you wouldn't understand. But it's just like that, you know, one sibling's always pushing and testing the waters, pissing off the other one.
That's right. It's their job.
Yeah, yeah. But other than that, the story was fine, except for the whole, you know, the whole plot hole with them kidnapping the child.
Plot holes in the movie.
Yeah, and then, yeah.
You know,
That was the biggest one for me. So overall, I'm going to give this 3 buckets. It was a good film. The plot hole was just staring you in the face, and you're just going.
The other thing, too, that I didn't get, and I didn't get it from the first one. I mean, I understand what was said to him, but that made him have an attachment with him, was what was the big attachment to J.K. Simmons? Other than the fact that in the first one, he asked him if he was a good dad, and he said yes.
Another part that just didn't make sense and didn't need to be there was at the beginning of the movie, he's at a...
The speed dating.
And he pretty much rigged the system to like everyone was matched with him.
Every woman wanted to talk to him.
Yeah. So like before it even started, everyone ran and got in line for him. But yeah, there was absolutely no point in that at all. It was funny, but there was no point.
Right. And then the other thing I want to ask before we get out of here, what was your favorite part? Favorite scene, favorite whatever.
The favorite scene for me is when they're at the bar.
Okay, that one's pretty good.
And the girl comes over, because I've been with my friends, my buddies at the bar, and a girl will come over and start talking to one of them, and we're one of us, and everyone else is just like,
"How did you do that?"
And then like he blows it, and she walks away, and everyone's like, "Dude, what are you doing?" You know, and then Ben Affleck goes over and starts dancing with her, and then the fight breaks out because the other drunken cowboy showed up.
Yeah.
That whole part was funny to me.
That was funny to me. My favorite part, and I'm not going to give too much of it away, is the first time that John Bernthal is seen on screen. That whole scene.
When he's having the conversation with himself.
He's trying to jack himself up to have this conversation. Yeah. And then when you find out what it is just the funniest thing ever. Yeah. And then it pays off at the end of the movie as well.
Yeah.
All right, so go out and see this one in theaters now. It is The Accountant 2, starring John Bernthal and Ben Affleck. All right, coming up, as I said, we're like less than a month now kind of away from school ending here in our area. So we're going to talk about end of the school year flicks when we come back on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review.
Hey, idiots. We're back from commercial. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, Segment 2, and action.
Welcome back to Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, and, you know, it's getting close to the end of the school year.
It is.
It truly, truly is. I think the last day of school in our area is like the 21st of May, so we're like less than a month, so we got to talk about some end of the school year flicks and things like that, and we've picked out three of them. The first one is a go-to. You've got to have it on
any list
of anybody that's either cutting school or wanting to, you know, do something fantastic before school ends, and it's Ferris Bueller's Day Off. This movie came out in 1986. It's rated PG-13, 1 hour, 43 minutes. You get, blanked on Matthew Broderick. This is really the movie that put Matthew Broderick on the scene, I believe.
And Alan Ruck and Mia Sara.
And don't forget Edie McClurg.
And Jeffrey God Jones.
Lover. Yep. And Jennifer Grey.
Yeah.
His sister. So once again, this is about a gentleman named Ferris that just doesn't feel like going to school. We've all been there.
Yeah.
And he decides that I think the line is, if I miss another day of school, I'm going to have to cough up a lung.
So
this one's got to be epic.
Yeah. And so funny thing about this, I was telling you before we started here, I was watching this thing the other day that just popped up on my feed. And it was a theory about Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Okay.
That it's basically he's stuck in a time loop.
Okay.
And basically, the things we're watching is different days in the time loop, because everything is absolutely perfect.
It's very true.
Everything is timed perfectly. He catches the baseball in the perfect seat. He's in the perfect spot to go sing at the parade. Everything is just too perfect to be natural. And even at the beginning when he... the parents, you know, talk to him and say, oh, you're such how are you such a perfect kid? And he says, practice, because he's lived day after day after day doing the same thing. And the secretary says, you know, that Ferris and the girl had only been dating just a short time, but he basically talks about her like they've been dating for years.
That's true. I never looked.
So just something to
now
think
I'm gonna
about.
Now I'm going to have to watch it
just
again.
Just something. I saw that. It made me think. And I was like, it pans out.
You know, the thing I remember the most about this movie, I went and I had my cousins. They grew up in Utah County. And I went and would go and stay, you know, a week at a time with them sometimes up in there during the summer. And we went and saw this movie. And I love this movie. This was a lot of fun. It's still a great movie. The other movie that we saw that week, not a bad movie, not a great movie, was Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, I like that
So
movie.
A little triple Lindy in that one out. But yeah. I would
you
definitely...
You know who else is in that movie? Your favorite actor. He's in Doomsday. Plays Dr. Doom.
Yeah, he does. Robert Downey Jr. is in that. He's the son's roommate.
He plays basically himself before he cleaned himself
Pre-trouble.
Up.
Pre-trouble.
Yeah.
Pre-trouble Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, he was a drug and alcohol addicted college student.
There you go.
Which, you know, if you've been to college, that's what you are.
Life imitates art.
Yes.
So, yeah, I completely spaced that one off until you brought it up. But, yeah, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, good flick. Good chance to, if you can find it, go ahead and watch this one. The next one, I have talked about this movie on this show before, and I have named it. The dreaded remote dropper. I will watch this movie anytime, and it's Dazed and Confused. Came out in 1993, rated R, 1 hour, 43 minutes long. This one stars Ben Affleck is in this.
Yep.
Matthew McConaughey is in this. Jason London. You even get Cole Hauser, Rip, from Yellowstone is in this movie.
Yeah.
And it's just about the last day of school.
Yeah.
And really the side story is that Jason London is this huge football star at the school.
You're forgetting a few people.
I know.
Parker Posey's also in it.
Parker Posey's in this.
Mila, I slaughter her last name. Mila Jovovich.
Mila Jovovich. Is Jolie Fisher in this one? Not Jolie Fisher. Yeah. Lauren. Jory Lauren Adams.
Yeah.
There you go. But anyway, he is a football star, and at the he is going into his senior year, and the coach wants everybody to sign these contracts saying that they won't drink, they won't do drugs, they won't go out and party because he should be dedicating himself to the team. So there's that dynamic through the outside of it. And then, of course, you've got Wooderson.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
And I watched a clip the other day of him talking about that character. And really, this is one of those movies that was shot for basically nothing,
mm-hmm.
had zero script, really. They wrote the day of what they were shooting. And the director came to Matthew McConaughey and he says, I think you could pull this off. And he kind of gave him a little background to the character. And so he goes, okay, give me an hour. And he walked off. And they're sitting there in the parking lot at the station.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, you know, what three things fuel this guy? What is he really like? He loves his car. He loves, you know, music. And he loves him some pot. And girls, let's be honest.
Because you know what the best thing about high school girls
are? That's right. I get older, they stay the same age, I tell you. But the thing about it was, he was listening to a Doors live album at the time. And in that clip, there's a live clip of Jim Morrison. And he says, all right, all right, all right. So that's where he took it from. Interesting. Interesting story. And it's a great movie, too. I enjoy this one. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, don't let the kids watch it.
No.
But, yeah, but for the adults in the room, it's a very good one. You know, it definitely deals with a lot of sensitive subjects nowadays.
A little bit. A little bit of hazing.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with a good old haze.
No, there's nothing wrong with a good old whooping.
We're getting canceled, Dave.
That's okay. We knew it was coming. Yeah. All right, and then let's wrap up with, this is one of my personal favorites. This is probably another remote dropper for me. I'll be totally honest. Probably because of my unhealthy obsession with Jennifer Love Hewitt. And it's 1998's Can't Hardly Wait, rated PG-13, 1 hour, 40 minutes. This takes place on the last day of school. Okay, yes. You've got Jennifer Love Hewitt. Ethan Embry is in this one.
I love Ethan Embry.
He's in this one. Melissa Joan Hart, I believe, is in this film. And keeping true with the How I Met Your Mother theme, Jason Segel is in this movie.
Yeah, Lauren Ambrose, Seth Green.
Oh, so it's Charlie Kosher.
Charlie Kosher and Jamie Presley.
Yeah, this is a funny, funny movie. And it deals really with Ethan Embry's character believes that it is fate that he is going to be with Jennifer Love Hewitt's character in the movie. And of course, the first day of school, Jennifer Love Hewitt hooks up with the big jock. So all through their sophomore, junior, senior year, she is with this guy. And the last day of school, she breaks up with Mike Dexter, played by Peter Facinelli. And so he sees this as his window. And he has had this letter that he has written her. And he has revised it and changed it because he's a writer. That's what he does. That's what he wants to go to school for. So he has written this letter and everything. There is a very funny scene with Jenna Elfman where she plays an angel stripper who thinks that he wants to get on the phone and talk to Barry Manilow because he's in love with him. But he's really trying to get he's trying to talk to him about his inspiration for writing the song Mandy. But it's very funny. She says some poignant stuff. He goes back. And during all this time, he sees, this is something that would get you canceled now, a gentleman, a teenage boy, I don't want to say it's a man, but it's a high school student accosting Jennifer Love Hewitt And so he thinks that the two of them are together. Mm. So he throws this letter out. And through this strange series of, you know, this, that, and the other, she gets the letter, reads the letter, and he comes back and is going to profess his love to her. And she has just had it because every boy at this party has hit on her now. And then she finds out that he's the one that wrote the letter and yada, yada, yada. And they get together at the end and God bless.
Wow.
But it is a fun movie. Seth Green plays a great character. He plays a white kid that thinks he's black. He's nonsensical in this. But it's a lot of great, fun stories. And it makes you think back to, you know, being in school and the last day of school and everything and how there were relationships that were going to end that you'll never see people again and things like that. So it's a great flick. It really is.
Now, in 98, I was in eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
you probably had a thing for Jennifer Love Hewitt. It's okay.
How'd you know?
But, Party of Five was no joke, man.
Yeah. And now she's on, was it Rescue 911?
I don't know what she's on. I'll have to check that out.
No, I think she's on 911 right now.
She's on my mind an unhealthy amount of time. I'll be honest with you.
She doesn't look the same.
I can tell you that. She does not.
She doesn't look bad.
No.
But she just doesn't look.
She doesn't look Jennifer Love Hewitt-y. And that's okay. I guess that means it's time to go for Lucy Chabret. Is that her name? That played the little sister on Party of Five? That kind of semi looks like her. Anyway.
Dave, get out.
I digress. But yeah, check those out. Lots of fun. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Dazed and Confused and Can't Hardly Wait. Some great end of the school year movies. Now, we're going to bring the mood way down when we come back. It is the 20th anniversary of Revenge of the Sith. And I have some pretty strong opinions about this one. Sounds like Ryan does too. So we'll talk about that when we come back on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review.
All right, in the souls, everyone quiet down. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, segment 3, and action.
So for the final segment this week, we're going to talk about the Revenge of the Sith. This is the 20th anniversary of Revenge of the Sith, and they brought it back into theaters, rated PG-13. If you can't do math, it came out in 2005, and it's 2 hours, 20 minutes long. You get everybody. You get Hayden Christensen. You get Natalie Portman. You get Samuel L. Jackson. Ian McDiarmid is in this. Ewan McGregor is in this. I'm just going down the list.
I was going to say, are you going to forget Obi-Wan?
No, I won't. I would never forget Obi-Wan.
Come on, Dave. Let's kill some younglings.
Christopher Lee is in this.
He is for so a little bit.
This is the final movie in the initial trilogy that wraps up everything. And for me, it's my favorite of the first three. It really is because there is a lot of stuff that happens in this movie that had to happen.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You get a lot of things that are tied up in this. And I really, really liked this one. And it also gives us, quite possibly, one of the best lightsaber battles we've seen on any of the 9.
Well, yeah. So this movie starts off with, you know, we're going to talk about it. We're not spoiling anything. It, you know,
no.
Came out a long time ago. But, you know, you finally get the see, you know, how good Anakin is.
Yes.
Right off the bat when he kills Dooku.
Yes. And how easily he can be manipulated.
Yes. And then later on when he's fighting Obi-Wan on the planet, I know it had to happen, but I don't think that was the right way to do it. I think they could have done it a little better. You know, just him jumping over him. I have the high ground was kind of.
It seemed like it wrapped everything up pretty quickly.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, you spend all this time on this, you know, on these other subjects, and then you just kind of basically hop over this one.
Yes, and so I get that. I do. In the beginning of the movie, there's the big space battle. And then he goes back to Coruscant, and him and Padme have now been secretly wed. They are married. And yeah, you see that. When he kills Dooku, it was because Palpatine told him to.
Mm-hmm.
And then remember, Palpatine wanted to leave Obi-Wan there.
Yeah.
He says, we need to get out of here. And he's like, no, we're going back for Obi-Wan. So he had that duality. He's having that battle within and of himself. And then it goes on to find out that, yes, he did call it. Palpatine knew that Padme was going to perish. She was going to die. But he also used that as a way...
I don't necessarily know that he knew she was going to die. I think he was kind of trying to orchestrate it.
You think one way or the other she was dying?
Yeah.
So, but then he also gave Anakin the thought in the back of his head that I can save her.
Yeah, because, you know, when he said, oh, in your rage, you killed her.
Yes.
You know, that was just a straight up lie.
Right. And because that was the other thing is the fact that he has this battle within himself. And you don't necessarily see it again until maybe the end of Empire. I don't know if we see it that. We definitely see it in Return of the Jedi. With this interior battle between him and doing what he thinks is right and doing what, you know. But you definitely see it in Return of the Jedi when he throws Palpatine over the rail.
Yeah, I think in Empire, that's when he kind of started to have a change of heart because he found out who they were.
Right, right. He knew who they were.
Yeah.
And so I think, like I said, I think it's probably the best to me anyway out of the first three.
I will agree and disagree. I really like the ending of episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, when, you know, we actually got to see the clones.
Right.
And they attacked. But everything
else. Is that what happens then?
But, you know, and the whole scene with the arena was cool. The whole love story part of it, you know, I understand it had to be there, but.
It was too much.
Yeah, but in this last one. We really didn't get to see them fight a whole lot, and you just kind of wanted more than what they gave you. You know, and you know, they had the original animated Clone Wars that came out, and then later on the Disney, or not the Disney version, but I don't remember which studio, they made the other Clone Wars, and then Disney took that over.
Right.
And then now we got all these series coming out. I think Andor
just came out. Yeah, first three episodes. I love how they're doing that, by the way, just as a quick side note.
Yeah.
Every day they're releasing three episodes every week. I can get behind that.
Yeah.
But I think that the scene that probably gave most people pause in this one was the scene at the Jedi Temple.
When he killed the younglings?
When Anakin goes a-visiting.
That was my favorite part.
That just tells you that he's gone.
Yeah, that shows you how Vader can be Vader.
Yes, he's gone at that point.
Master Skywalker, what are we going to do? You're going to die.
Right? But that just shows you that Anakin is gone and Vader has taken over. And so there was that scene. And the most poignant, I would say, I'm going to diverge a little bit here. The best scene to me, Vader scene, and it's got to be the end of Rogue One.
Yeah, Rogue One was really good because it basically went straight into
Star Wars, New Hope.
New Hope. But also in, was it Ahsoka? When they watched or was it Obi-Wan, where they watched the footage from the temple the day that it was attacked, and they finally realized
who it was and what had happened. I can't remember.
They watched Anakin basically slaughtering everybody.
Right. But like I said, that scene there, up until that point, you didn't really know what Darth Vader was capable of, other than the fact that, you know, he'd killed some kids. But who hasn't, you know?
Wow, Dave.
That's neither an admission or a retraction. But I think that a lot of people looked at that particular scene with him and said, okay, this guy means business. And he is gone. He's lost. Anakin is done.
Yeah. I know, you know, growing up as a little kid, everyone liked Luke Skywalker, the good side, the rebels and all that. I've always been a Vader guy.
I'll tell you what, maybe it's just in my older age, I've become a Vader guy.
Get off my lawn type of guy.
That and the fact that, you know what, Thanos had a good idea.
Yeah, he did.
He really did. So let's be honest.
He went about it a little bit crazy, but yeah, he had a good idea.
So anyway, 20th anniversary, Revenge of the Sith. It's in theaters now. It's also on Disney Plus. Find it, watch it. If you never have, shame on you, because it is a great, great film. Before we get out of here, I'll be gone next week.
Yeah.
So Ryan and Jordan will take over the helm. I don't know what they're gonna, what they got planned for you.
Well, we got something good coming.
It'll be all right, I promise. And before I get out of here, of course, make sure you head on over to our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, Dave and Ryan's Movie Review. Like and subscribe. Plenty of content goes up on there every week. We do reactions. We do redemptions. We throw segments from our show on there. Give them a watch. Tell us what you think. That's one of the best things, because that's how the show works best, is when we get some reactions and you tell us what's going on and what your thoughts are on those kinds of things. So until next time, go see a movie.
And that brings us to the end of this week's journey. But don't worry, Dave and Ryan have more movies to watch and more opinions to spew next week. You can relive today's episode at CastleCountryRadio.com. Thanks for joining us on Ryan and Dave's Movie Review.
Ah, the hell with it. Send it in, we're done. See you next week.